Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love. Walk on through the way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. And we'll listen to this song, and we'll be on a few minutes.
Yes.
I'm low.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody across America and around the world. And like I said, I'm David Franklin, and my co-host is Laura Picker in Michigan. And we had an interesting show last night, you know, and wow, what a doozer that was. You know, we can see how crazy people are and out of their minds and just not up on the issues in terms of information. You know, solid, reliable information, because they take the news source from one place, Fox News, AON, Breitbart, whomever, you know, and time after time it's been debunked, and these people continue to support Donald Trump. Hey, it's within their right, but don't come on the show and try to spew your nonsense and your garbage, because we're not here for it. You know, whatever that man in North Carolina said is just totally ridiculous. You know, so we're not going to entertain any more of those calls. And if any calls come in that support Donald Trump and his foolishness and his misinformation, you get cut off. Plain and simple as that. So we're not going to take any slackness. Because already, speaking of slackness, the Supreme Court recently ruled that Donald Trump must be put back on the Colorado presidential ballot. They'll take up his New York appeal in April as well, delaying Jack Smith's trial. And Letitia James, pursuit of justice regarding money he owes to the state of New York. And, you know, he also owes millions of dollars to Eugene Carroll, who he raped. You know, so is the Supreme Court being biased and favoring Trump? What does it say about the institution? Have they lost credibility because they're too politicized? Should the Supreme Court seat be expanded from 9 to 13 seats? What does their ruling mean for the future of America's fragile democracy as you march towards Election Day in 2024? So thanks for joining us tonight as we discuss this and other burning questions on our broadcast. call in and have your say, America. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. Don't speak over the host nor anyone who may be on the air as well. Turn off all background noises as it's distracting to us and to the listeners. So thanks for sharing across social media and smashing that like, follow, and remind button as well. We are eternally grateful for your patronage, and be sure to visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. You have all sorts of blog articles and also recipes, cooking recipes, so you can try out and what have you. And, you know, the merch section will be open soon. So we look forward to that and everything. We have big plans right up to election day and beyond that. And I hope, you know, you stick with us because the truth has to be out there. And we cannot let fascists dictate who we are as a country and where we go from here. So tonight's topic, Season 6, Episode 44, Defending Democracy at All Costs. Again, the number is 515-605-9802. We're Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-socials, we're anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, Lori, where should we stab? Supreme Court or elsewhere?
Let's talk a second about the Supreme Court ruling. They said that Orange Man can stay on the Colorado ballot ahead of Super Tuesday, which is tomorrow, by the way. So, and it was all nine of the justices agreed. So, you know, I don't know how to think about it, except how to think about this, except to say that it's going to end up being the only force that we can use, the only tool that's left in our toolbox, is that we have to get out there and vote. No excuses. Every single generation that's eligible to vote and registered needs to get out there and vote to save our democracy, because Donald Trump will be the nominee. He's going to be the nominee. Now, this, you know, we can handle this Colorado thing. That's fine. We can be on the ballot. But what's important in my eyes is getting people out to vote, to understand that we have to vote in numbers that cannot be questioned, that cannot be made to think that, you know, it was only 100 votes he won on. No, it's got to be 2, 3, 4, 10 million votes that Biden has won on, you know, plus, even more than that. It's got to be unquestionable. It has to be a tsunami vote, a tsunami blue vote. That's what it has to be. So in that respect, there's one other thing that I would like to talk about after we're done with this. I want to talk a little bit about Citizens United. I have this article that I would like to read, and it's something else that we have to think about for in the future. I know that right now nothing can be done about it, but it's good to remind people that Citizens United is not good for our democracy either. So what do you have to say about Colorado, David?
Yes, ma'am. So as, by the way, Elaine is online now. Welcome to the show, Elaine. She's calling
in
from Michigan.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, so the Supreme Court ruled Donald Trump can be on the Colorado ballot ahead of the Super Tuesday, as you did say. And the rule that Monday. And they can't use the anti-insurrectionist provision of the Constitution to kick Donald Trump off the ballot, leaving it up to the voters to decide whether the former president should be returned to the White House after trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election. So I guess the 14th Amendment don't apply. You know, why have amendments? Why have a Constitution? And then in a unanimous decision, the court reversed the Colorado Supreme Court's December ruling, that Trump is disqualified from running for president by the constitutional amendment enacted by the Civil War to keep insurrectionists from holding office. But the three liberal justices criticized the conservative majority opinion and said that the court further the court is further than necessary. And in rare note of disagreement, one member of the conservative Supreme Court majority, Amy Coney Barrett, also raised some concerns, saying, and I quote, "The court should turn the national temperature down, not up," end quote. So in an unassigned opinion, the justices didn't evaluate whether the January 6th attack on the Capitol was an insurrection or whether Trump engaged in it. So instead, the majority said the Constitution makes Congress, not the states, responsible for enforcing Section 3 of Amendment 14. And I quote, "We conclude that the states may disqualify persons holding or attempting to hold state office," five of the justices said. "But states have no power under the Constitution to enforce Section 3 with respect to federal offices, especially the presidency." So, you know, they want the House of Representatives to deal with it. And as you all know, that the House of Representatives have raised a slim majority of Republicans, you know, I think by 10 or 11 seats, you know, so, or seven seats. I don't know the count. I have to look that up and everything. You know, so the three liberal justices say that the majority went further than necessary. And the court's three liberal justices agreed that allowing Colorado to remove Trump from the ballot would have created a chaotic state-by-state patchwork. But they wrote a separate statement criticizing the majority for going further than they said was necessary in order to insulate Trump and the Supreme Court from future controversy. So again, the Supreme Court, you know, the shit on the Constitution and not giving a damn about, you know, what the founding fathers had in mind. You know, so the states have no control, but I guess central government, you know. Sonia Sotomayor, Ellen Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson made this joint statement, and I quote, "We cannot join an opinion that decide monumentous and difficult issues unnecessary." And they went on to say, "The majority attempts to insulate all alleged insurrectionists from future challenges to hold their holding in federal office," end quote. So writing separately, Amy Coney Barrett also said that she would not have gone as far as her fellow conservative colleagues. But in a two-paragraph statement, Barrett sought to turn the temperature down by emphasizing where they agreed. So, you know, I guess Amy Coney Barrett trying to play it both ways and everything, you know, talking both sides of her mouth and everything. Because remember, the whole IDF, you know, controversy, which was being asked by the senator from Connecticut, you know, what's her stance on it, and when does she think that the baby is viable or the fetus is viable? You know, she skirts around the issue and never directly answered the question. He asked her three or four times. You know, so we'll carry the tech Coney Barrett's word. We'll have to take it with a grain of salt because she's talking both sides of her mouth, and she can't be trusted nor believed. And, you know, it's just a whole political, you know, show, fair talk by our conservative judges. And because Donald Trump got three of them, you know, put on the Supreme Court, you know, Mitch McConnell can thank for that, because when Barack Obama was running for president for re-election, he wanted to put his nominee up, and Mitch McConnell was saying, "Oh, no, you know, it's an election year, you know, we can't politicize this." But what is the Supreme Court doing now? Politicizing. You know, and that is something we don't need right now because it's so polarizing. The Supreme Court should be, you know, politically neutral, and Christianity and any religion should be left out. But the Supreme Court is, you know, putting religion in the Constitution or trying to, and it's just not good for the country.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not good. And the hearing that I am waiting for, but not with much hope, is the April 24th, when the Supreme Court decides about presidential immunity. That one is going to have it can have, let's say, depending on how they rule, many, many problems to come in the future if they decide that a president is basically immune, you know, has immunity. I don't think that a president should have immunity. I don't care who the president is. I don't care if it's President Biden. You know, I don't care if it's, you know, a Republican. No president should have that sort of power. It's just not what our democracy was built on. You know what I'm saying? So, so let's just say that that's the ruling that I'm worried about. That's the ruling that I'll be waiting for. And I think that's the ruling may really show us if the Supreme Court is truly political in terms of owing Donald Trump.
That's what I think. Yes, yes, yes. It's so sad where we're, you know, where we're, it's so sad where we're at as a country because, you know, the word Bible is not in the Constitution. Christianity is not in the Constitution. But these lunatics on the right believe that America was formed as a democracy under the banner of Christianity. And from time and time again, they keep coming on the show and pointing out and quoting Thomas Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Washington, that is not the case. But, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, as I said, we're making things up, which we're not, because it's actual historical quotes. You can go to the Library of Congress. You can go to their presidential libraries, you know, Thomas Jefferson, whoever. And those quotes were made by them, saying America is not a Christian religion. So it's a cut and dry case where, you know, it shouldn't be up for debate. There should be a separate line. The only wall that should be built in America is the wall of separation between church and state. We're not a theocracy like Iran. And that's what Christians and evangelicals are trying, and they're not going to succeed. We're going to fight tooth and nail. You know? It's going to be fire with fire and blood for blood. Separation of church and state is in the Constitution. Congress shall pass no law regarding religion. What more can you say about that? You know?
Not much. Not much. So, I want to read this article because I think that, you know, being that it's a presidential election year, et cetera, I want to read it, and I would like to talk about it a little bit because I think it's important. So this article is entitled, Billionaires Are Meddling in Elections and Getting Tax Breaks for It. The United States Constitution clearly states one person, one vote. But what if you're a billionaire? Thanks to SCOTUS rulings like Citizens United, we have witnessed a massive infusion of dark money into the U.S. political system. The ultra-wealthy are secretly donating fortunes to dark money groups in order to elect anti-democratic candidates. Currently, a loop in the tax code that makes donations of assets to 501c4 groups, which most dark money groups are classified as tax deductible. So they are not only anonymous billionaire donors allowed to trample all over our democracy with their massive contributions to dark money groups, but they actually get a tax break for it too. In 2022, billionaire Barry Seid began making secretive asset transfers to Marble Freedom Trust, a dark money group controlled by the Federalist Society co-chair and Supreme Court dealmaker Leonard Leo. His last transfer was made in 2023, and in the end, it totaled
$1.6 billion, the largest donation to a political advocacy group in American history. Due to the way the donations were structured, SEED avoided paying $400 million in taxes. To put an end to this madness, U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat from Rhode Island, and Representative Judy Chu, a Democrat from California, have introduced the End Tax Breaks for Dark Money Act, which would close the loophole that allows billionaires to avoid capital gains tax on appreciated assets that are donated to dark money groups. This legislation is critical to ensure that our elections are fair and that the wealthy are made to pay their rightful share in taxes. Then it went on to say, Morris Pearl, the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, expressed his strong support for the bill. There is no justifiable reason why wealthy people like me should be allowed to dominate our political system by donating an entire $1.6 billion of dark money to a company that is a political group. But perhaps it is the $400 million tax break that comes from doing so. So in other words, you know, that's a little perk from them, for them, because they donate the dark money, and then on top of it all, they get a tax break on top of it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect example of how this provision in the tax code is used by the ultra wealthy to manipulate the levels of government, while simultaneously dodging their obligation to pay taxes. We cannot allow millionaires and billionaires to roughshod our democracy and then reward them for it with a tax break. Billionaires are a threat to American democracy. In the 2022 midterm elections, $1 out of every $9 in political donations came from fewer than 500 billionaires. In fact, billionaires spent more than $1 billion in that cycle, disproportionately donating to the far-right candidates who champion lower taxes on the ultra-rich and lucrative tax breaks for major corporations. As the 2024 election gets underway, super PACs and outside groups have so far spent $318 million on federal races, six times more than what they spent this time in 2020. American democracy should not be up for sale to the highest bidder. If we want to make political progress more fair and transparent and ensure that elected officials answer to their constituents and not to anonymous billionaire donors, we must pass the End Tax Break for Dark Money Act.
Exactly. And it also goes not for the right, but also for the left, you know, and across the board,
David.
Because America is not for sale. And, you know, it should be about the people and who you hope to represent and not corporations or rich individuals. You know, this is what killing democracy. And when Mitt Romney, when you ran against President Obama in 2012, it was, you were saying corporations are people, you know, which is the most ridiculous statement I ever heard, you know. So I need to cut that out. Whether you're left or you're right, you know, America's not for sale. The people are not for sale. This country is not for sale. Stop it, please. You know, you're killing democracy here, man. And, you know, because who knows, in dark money, China or Russia, you know, or even North Korea could, like, be sending dark money. You don't know, because dark money, when you have dark money, you don't have to report who gave you. You just get the dark money, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, last time I'm going to say this. Last time, 515-605-9802 is a number you call when you're on air. Please, for the love of God, turn off all background noises and all sounds because it's distracting, okay? Say first name where you're calling from. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Good evening. This is Elaine from Michigan. I've got a little thing to say. People keep talking about inflation. Well, until we get control of the House and the Senate and we start regulating these corporations, which will make for healthy competition. Competition is what lowers prices, not monopolies. When you have one industry, and this is what's happening right now in the food industry, when you have one grocery store that seems to be taking over the country, which is Kroger's, you know darn well that in a very short time, they will be naming the prices, and you will be their guinea pigs. That hasn't got anything to that has to do with legislation. If you want your country strong, you have to have competition, and you can't have competition when you deregulate the companies. And that's the bottom line. And then getting back yesterday, I'm going to be very brief on this. Lori, you talked about voting. I want to remind every woman out there. When I grew up, I wasn't allowed to wear slacks. So I'm gonna little talk about baby. We've come a long way as females. Okay? Then went to school. There were certain subjects it was frowned upon for a girl to take because there was girl subjects and boy subjects. Can you imagine that nowadays? Well, you want to go back to that, girl subjects and boy subjects?
No.
I was lucky. I had shop teachers in grade school who encouraged the girls to use a saw and a hammer. And I loved it. I hated home ec, but the boys enjoyed it. Okay. So that's another step forward. Then I graduated from high school, and I got this neat job. To find out, I wasn't allowed to join the union because I was a woman. Had I had been allowed to join the union, doing this union job, my pay would have been doubled.
Yeah.
So there again, now the unions accept, all unions accept women. But back when I started in the work field, you could not every woman could join the union. So that's another step forward. Then I was a pretty self-sufficient type person. I got my own checking account. I went to work, got my own checking account, got my own. My dad helped me buy a car. I paid for my own car, paid for my own insurance. That's the way I was brought up. I was pretty lucky. I had a semi-decent job, even though it was half of the union wage. I got married. I went to the store. I handed them my charge card. My charge card was bent, and I was told to go home and have my husband fill out a card and put me down as a secondary user. How would you like that, ladies? And this is exactly what's happening. Exactly. When That's I went exactly. to school, the rich girls, when they got pregnant, they went out of town. The poor girls ended up in the hospital, and a couple of them died.
Exactly.
So ladies, young women, you get your fannies out there and vote. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay.
Doris calling in from Flint.
Right. Hey, I was listening to all that, and I agree with Elaine on this dark money. And I think one of the things that we talk about it, but there has to be a way to get the law changed. And we can only do that if we are in the majority and all the, you know, all the the House, Senate, and the presidency. But even then, we have to know who will really support it, who will really support it. All the Democrats would have to, you know, basically support it. And I do know that Open Secrets, which you're probably familiar with, opensecrets.org, is, you can go and look at donations or money that is given to two different candidates. And I've gone in and looked. I don't know how much the dark money will appear, but you can see where they're getting money from. And there's a lot of bipartisan getting money. Like today, I just thought of telling you that, you know, Adam Schiff, whom I respect, and Katie Porter, whom I respect, and Barbara Lee. I think they're all running for Feinstein's Senate seat, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
as I heard Katie Porter being interviewed today. And what she said is she doesn't take any corporate money, any PAC money and all of that, nor does AOC, nor does Bernie Sanders and a lot of others. And that's a good thing. The problem is they're running against people who do get a lot of money. And you have to be kind of outstanding, like AOC, Bernie Sanders, to be able to, you know, compete against them. But at any rate, I heard there's a targeting of the squad. There's eight people, the women and Jamal Bowman and the squad from the AIPAC lobby have put up millions to have a primary primary Democrats run in the primaries against the squad and those people. And I don't know when the Democratic primaries are, but they are actually focusing on targeting those people. But the other thing, Elaine, what kind of union was that? They wouldn't let women in. I was just curious.
Now they allow women in all unions. Back then they didn't.
But what
even if you worked in a factory, many of the factories, they didn't allow you women back then. I'm just telling my age. I'm talking the 60s.
I know the 60s. Okay. So,
some of the unions did not allow women.
But, I mean, is it like General Motors? I'm not aware. I mean, what kind of unions are you talking about?
It was a newspaper union.
I see. Okay.
It was the printers. Well, it was the printers. It was the photographers. I worked for the shopping news. And we did a job called reverse negatives. And that was a man's job. But for some reason, the men didn't like it. It was tedious, or they didn't have enough men to do it. I don't know what the reason was, but we had about eight to ten of us that would do the reverse negatives, they called it. And since we were women and we were in the office setting doing this job, we got half the wage because we weren't allowed in a union. We had no union benefits.
Okay, I'm thinking of, anyway, I was curious about that because I wasn't aware that women weren't allowed because they like to get the, you know, they like to get the pay when you pay the union dues. And I can relate to something else you said, Elaine.
I will tell you something else about women breaking a lot of barriers. Women, when they started running for office, there was a lot of newspapers that wouldn't give them the time of day. Because they were women. They wouldn't interview them. They wouldn't write a story about them. And when you went out campaigning, you were on your own. And that's a fact.
I wasn't in that kind of
situation. And I'm talking the 80s now.
Yeah. I'm thinking in my experience, I was going to say as a kid, I was angry. I couldn't wear long pants to school because I liked to play football, and that made me madder than hell. Okay, you had to wear skirts. I remember that, so I can relate to that. And I never took home ec. I didn't want to take home ec. I never took that. But in terms of like in 1978, I organized a union at the at the hospital that I was doing my medical training in. And so I was organizing it, and there were no dues even paid to that because it wasn't like the regular unions. It was something that wasn't asking for money, but we did become a union. And we got to deal with issues that concerned us. Many of them were patient issues, but it wasn't about money, which many of them are for wages, and it was more about issues, and I got a whole lot of grief about that, but it was really great. It was really great. Because at one point, when you're doing that, you're getting, oh, by the way, and you get written up in the newspaper, but not in a different way. I did get interviewed when I was doing it by this woman at the Flint Journal. And, you know, they find out you're doing this stuff, and so they write articles about it. And one day it ended up on the front page of the Flint Journal about whatever I was doing over there. And I thought, oh, shit, I'm working that day. I'm walking around the hospital, you know, trying to keep out of everybody's way because I didn't really want all that much attention because you get more done when they're not watching you. You know what I mean?
You had a woman reporter.
Yeah.
I was told point blank, it was called the Macomb Daily. I was told by the editor of the paper I had no business running. I didn't know what I was doing.
I see. Well.
And I told him, I said, watch me. I'm going to win.
Well, we did win. It didn't change our salaries because we weren't dealing with that. And as the union president, I didn't get any money because I didn't think about that. But we actually had an impact. We got some things addressed that otherwise wouldn't. I was going to tell you, I got a lot of grief in the hospital. I won't go through the details. When you're organizing a union, there's always the part doesn't want to change, and that's the hospital management. But we had the operators of the phone, I found they had a union, but they were telling me because they supported what I was doing, and so did the nurses, and they would tell me what the hospital was doing. You know, they're watching you guys. You're telling them you don't get enough sleep, blah, 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 blah. So they started having them keep track of, you know, they might wake us up when we're there all night. And so they told me that, so that was nice. But despite all the grief, once the union was, I got called into a meeting before we actually got the union, and I felt like a little child in a little chair with all these big, big people from the hospital sitting around looking and saying, now we're going to talk about this stuff. And I felt so intimidated. When I got out of that meeting, I was really, really angry. But at any rate, mm-hmm. We finally got the vote. You got over 50%. And then I got a call to come to this room. And I thought, what's this all about once we, you know, became a union? And they had coffee, crumpets. Then they wanted to just sit and talk. And I thought, what, are they kidding me? They're talking to me like a human being. Because we were unionized. So it makes a difference, and I noticed that. I noticed that.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But what, my message was to the women that there's a lot of ceilings that we broke. We broke a lot of ceilings, and
mm-hmm.
there are
mm-hmm.
a lot more to break. And the only
sure.
way the only way we're going to go forward is they've got to get out and vote, and they have to get out and vote blue. Now, I'm going to also make this statement. If your candidate, the Democrat, doesn't work out, don't keep Jack the Ripper in office. You primary the ass out, and you put somebody in that's going to do the job.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. the long and the short of it. And I really think that the school system is missing the boat. I think that civics should be taught 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, 4 years in a row. I don't know how many hundreds of people I have run into do not know how the government works.
And mm-hmm.
They don't even know
exactly.
what a nonpartisan race is.
It's
exactly. You know, and
it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can
run nonpartisan, and you can look up their record and see what they've been mm-hmm. doing. Do they tend towards more of the Democratic way of thinking? Are they gracious?
Mm-hmm.
Do they volunteer
right.
their time? Do they help people?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what you look at in a nonpartisan race. A lot of them don't belong to any organizations at that point. So that's what you
yeah.
look for. If they don't belong
okay.
to any helping organizations. Then you don't want them.
Yeah,
okay,
we're getting sidetracked
and
everything.
Okay. Yeah.
We're getting sidetracked and everything.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking about civil, teaching history and everything. In Texas, they're changing up the history books to read that the Africans came in as guests. You know, no, it's slavery. They're bound and shackled and forced mm-hmm. across the Atlantic for slavery, you know. And, you know, we need to teach the real history. And not because it may be offensive to you as a white person, you know, or, you know, because it's your ancestors. You know, we understand that you have nothing to do with slavery and what have you, but your ancestors, you know, did a lot of mm-hmm. bad to this country, wiping out the Native Americans, treating African Americans bad, you know, and trying to whitewash history. That shouldn't be tolerated. It shouldn't be allowed. But the next topic we're going on to is Tyler Boebert, Lauren Boebert's son. He was arrested mm-hmm. Tuesday on more than 20 yep. criminal charges and in a later yep. incident of ongoing Boebert family issues. Tyler Boebert mm-hmm. is 18 years old. He was picked up Tuesday afternoon after a string of recent vehicle trespass incidents and property theft in the area. Mm-hmm. And this is according mm-hmm. to the Rifle Police Department in Colorado. Jail records mm-hmm. show that he faces 22 counts altogether, five of which are felonies. And the charges include criminal possession of ID documents with multiple victims, conspiracy to mm-hmm. commit felony, first-degree criminal trespass and theft. You know, so, you know, Lauren Boebert ran as a family values conservative in
right.
District 3. How can she claim to be a family values person when she can't even control her own damn son? You know, Lori, mm-hmm. what do you think about that?
I think that she needs to retire, go home, and take care of her family. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're all out of control. It just mm-hmm. seems that way. I mean, her son fathered a child at, what, 17? He's now 18 mm-hmm. years old. Now he has felony mm-hmm. charges against him. So, you know, he should be paying child support and working to take care of the child that he fathered, you know. And she was so excited to be a, what did she call herself, a Gigi.
A Mima.
You know,
a Mimi, whatever.
You know, and mm-hmm. so Lauren Boebert needs to not run again. She needs to put her family first and take care of mm-hmm. her children and raise them properly. But the problem is, I don't think she knows how to do that for herself as well. So there's not much hope for that family.
Mm-hmm.
And 22
mm-hmm.
charges, I mean, this is some serious stuff. He, I think, hurt the woman that he assaulted, I think, had brain cancer. And
mm-hmm.
I think he stole from her or something like that. I have to find mm-hmm. the article again. But mm-hmm. like he, this young man, you know, I don't know how he was raised. I mean, we can go, you know, see Lauren Boebert, how she acts, you know, even in public. And then her husband is a hothead. So, and they're divorced, I believe. And,
yes.
and so they don't get along. And so the whole family needs help. It absolutely needs help. And now you're going to have her 18-year-old son possibly go to prison. You know, I mean, hey, you know, find your roots and go back to your family and fix your
mm-hmm.
family. That's your first obligation.
Exactly. And Boebert on Wednesday says she'll continue to support her son. And she made a public comment saying that, you know, I love my son Tyler, who has been through some very difficult public challenges for a young man and a subject of attention that he didn't ask for. Yes, he did. He stole from people, including a woman
yeah.
who had brain cancer, you know. And
yeah.
she go on to say, it breaks my heart to see my child struggling. And in this situation, especially when he has been providing multiple opportunities to get his life on track. So, yeah, she's
mm-hmm.
just a shitty parent. Just like Jason Boebert,
yep.
the father. They're just shitty parents, just like the typical conservative. Shitty,
mm-hmm.
don't know what they're doing. They don't have any idea of the issues. And they're just awful
mm-hmm.
people, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
Lauren Boebert should change her congressional district since Ken Buck, not running for re-election, he decided to retire. she is running with 8 other people, I think, in Colorado's 4th congressional district, which is plus 20 Republican, meaning Republicans is a deep red congressional district. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, and you know, out of the 9 people running, she's coming a distant 4th or 5th, you know, and I saw the get-together they had with all 9 candidates, and they were just giggling like school kids when the reporters were asking, so, have anybody been arrested on a felony charge? About 5 of them raised their hands. You know, have you ever been arrested? The reason, you know, it's like a whole shit show. It's like comedy, really, but it's not funny. You know, because they claim to be family values conservatives, but yet still they do everything that is anti what they stand for, or claim to stand for. You know, so Lauren Boebert has represented Colorado's 3rd congressional district since 2021. But in December, as you know, she announced that she would run. And she's going to go after the vacated seat because Adam Frisch, the former Marine,
right.
who almost beat her the last time, he lost by under 600 votes. And
yep.
this time he's outranking her in terms of, you know, donations, you know, by some 10 to 1 at least. You know, so Lauren Boebert knows that she can't win District 3. Which is a purple district, basically, and want to jump over to District 4, and I hope the people in District 4 onto her game. And if she does, by some miracle, get a nomination for her party, I hope the vote en masse against her, because she is not only stupid, but dangerous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
She's not a good model for her kids. She's not a good model
for her
own children.
She's not.
No.
She's not. And not only
and
that. Not only that, she went on to say in a press conference that she's not dumb and knew that switching districts would be tough, but she talked to God, told her to press. So, you know, talk to God. Why don't you talk to your kids and take care of your kids at home so they're not arrested with felony charges and fathering children at 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you?
Yeah, if you're talking to God, she needs to take her meds, please. You know, does God talk back? I wonder. You see, these people are lunatics. That's what I keep telling.
Yeah.
Every night on the show when we come on, Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, these people on the right are lunatics. When did the Republican Party have a bunch of lunatics? You know, was it after Watergate when Nixon had to resign and they got salty and bitter, you know, and it was turned this crazy, demonic, lunatic fringe, you know, or was it, you know, when George W. Bush came in and we had a Tea Party and all that nonsense started, it just gets progressively worse and worse and worse every single year, you know? What can we do to stop it? Seriously. These people are out of their fucking minds, and they need to be put in place. I'm sick of this crap.
I am, too. And I'm sick of people, you know, saying that they are Christians, where they're fake Christians. I'm sick of being told that, you know, that the Constitution, you know, should have, is not, you know, should not be divided. You know, I'm sorry. I got off track. Constitution should have Christian faith included in it, however you want to put it, you know. And no, there is a separation of church and state. That's all that there is to it. But they will argue with you and tell you that it's not true. Come on. I mean, really, you know, there's something else that I would like to talk about, David. It's at the bottom of your feed there. This I just read about it today, and I think it needs to be told because it just shows you how two-tier our system is. All right. I'll start with this. Brett Reed, who is the son of the Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reed, has a DWI sentence commuted by the Missouri governor. Now, mind you, let's talk about this for a second because this is very unjust.
The son of the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, has had his DUI sentence commuted by Missouri's governor. Missouri Governor Mike Parson on Friday commuted former coach Britt Reid's sentence, according to the Associated Press. He has been serving a prison sentence in connection with a drunk driving crash that injured a girl. Now, mind you, this little girl, she was 5 years old. She was hit by in her car. She was hit by him. He was drunk driving. He was hit by him. She has a traumatic brain injury. She is home, but she will not walk again or ever be the same again. Her life is no longer the same. She can't do the things that a five-year-old can do, and she will never walk again. Other things. So, Mr. Reid has completed his alcohol abuse treatment program and has served more prison time than most individuals convicted of similar offenses. Oh, really? So, almost killing a child, putting her in the hospital at 5 years old, and she will never be the same again. That constitutes him to be taken out of, let go from prison because the governor is friends with the chief coach.
Right.
And not only that, the governor has seen it to the Kansas City Chiefs. Did you know that? So that came into play as well. And he
what was
said,
that again,
Mr.
you said?
Like I said,
what was that?
He said, Mr. Reid has completed his alcohol abuse treatment program and has served more prison time than most individuals convicted on a similar offense, Parsons office said in a statement obtained by KMBC. Mr. Reid will be under house arrest until October of 25 with strict conditions of probation, including weekly meetings with parole officer, weekly behavioral counseling attendance, weekly meetings with a peer support sponsor, and stringent community service and employment requirements. Big deal is what I say
right.
about that. Big deal. David, you have
Hi,
a comment Lori. About that.
Hi, Lori. My name is
yeah.
Madeline.
Oh, hey, Madeline calling from Michigan. Hello. Listen, this guy should be under house arrest. Not even a house arrest. We kind of seem to, you know, pick for him. You know,
no,
this poor child, he's 5 years old, not
yeah.
really able to walk or talk or have a normal life, so to speak. You know, her life is ended
no.
because of him, you know,
yeah.
basically. So he should be in
yeah.
jail, not house arrest, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Andy Reid is this rich person, and,
yeah.
you know, suppose it was Andy Brown, his name was. He wasn't a coach of Kansas City Chiefs. You know, would he get pardoned like how Andy Reid's son did? No. So, again,
no.
it come back to the Supreme Court and what they're doing and trying to delay. You know, if it was Donald Smith, for example, and not
mm-hmm.
the name Trump, and a former president, you know,
mm-hmm.
would he, you know, be able to go around the country, you know,
mm-hmm.
with his Nazi-like rallies and talking all sorts of shit he doesn't know about, you know, and it drives fear into him. Reason being, if Donald
mm-hmm.
Trump wins this, as a presidential candidate, you're allowed daily presidential
mm-hmm.
briefing on, you know, secrets from the CIA and what's going on with
mm-hmm.
the FBI and Homeland Security. And it's
yeah.
proven that Donald Trump can't be trusted. You get what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Right.
So as George Carlin, the comedian, said, that, you know, it's a big country club, and you're not part of it. We're not part of the 1%.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're not part of,
first of all,
you know,
first
Trump
of all, in my,
first,
mm-hmm. and first of all, in my opinion, the governor
mm-hmm.
of Kansas had no business interfering in this, except that he must
mm-hmm.
be friends with the coach, the Kansas City coach, and his son.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had the
reason.
Power. He had
mm-hmm.
the
and,
power to do it.
Yes, and he has the power. And so this is our two tier justice system in
mm-hmm.
full color. So
mm-hmm.
let me just read what
the attorney for the mother of the girl, okay, as a young five-year-old girl. The mother of a girl who suffered a traumatic brain injury is speaking out after the man who caused it, former Chiefs assistant coach Britt Reed, has his prison sentence commuted by Missouri Governor Mike Parson. What would the government feel if it was his daughter, Felicia Miller said? She went on to say, Miller's daughter, Ariel Young, was 5 years old when Reed, drunk driving, crashed into her vehicle. The girl was a passenger in that vehicle. According to the family's attorney, Tom Porto, Ariel was in a coma after the crash. Since then, Porto said she has developmental delays, extensive physical therapy, and still has balance issues. The family is disgusted. I am disgusted, and I believe the majority of the people in the state of Missouri are disgusted by the governor's actions, the mom said to the Daily Beast. Parsons commuted Reed's three-year prison sentence on Friday, less than halfway through it, changed his punishment to house arrest. In a statement, Parsons said, in part, he did it because Reed has served more prison time than most individuals convicted of a similar offense. Oh, really? Oh,
is that true? Is that true?
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I don't
know. They can say it.
You never know. To say that I think it's clear he's giving everybody the middle finger who cares about a justice system, said the Henry Service, a Kansas City criminal defense attorney. He's not going to run again, and he doesn't care what ordinary people think about what he's doing. The powerful, the rich, the connected, they're going to get what they want. Any ordinary citizen aren't going to get good justice, and with people like him running our political system. Mothers Against Drunk Drive issued a statement on Monday. Matt is appalled to learn that Missouri Governor Mike Parson has commuted former Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach Brett Reed's DUI, who is the son of the head of the Kansas City Chiefs coach, Andy Reed, pled guilty to driving while intoxicated in 2021 crash that severely injured a five-year-old girl. I mean, this is disgusting.
So- Yeah, and, okay, and his blood alcohol level, his blood alcohol level registered at 0.113%. And this is according to the AP and the police. And the legal limit in Missouri is 0.08. So it was way over the level. So he should be sitting and rotting in prison for a long time. Not more house arrest for 3 years, you know?
House arrest. You know, go get some counseling, you know. In the meantime, this little girl is still spring. Still suffering.
And she's and going to continue to suffer.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
And she is going to continue to suffer.
Yes. With no compensation.
And yet
probably.
This needs to be a national story. See, as long as it sits in Missouri's back seat, it's just going to be in Missouri.
Yep.
But we know that Trump, if Trump gets in, he's going to pardon all the people.
Trump is right now out of this one. Yes, he probably will. But right now, this little girl needs help. This mother needs powerful team of lawyers who are willing to go pro bono, possibly, and help sue that son of a bitch. Because if you remember, when what's his face, the football player, OJ, when he killed his wife, Nicole, the father went after O.J. civilly. Broke him. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah, but Lori was making a point.
Lori
was making a point that, you know, Trump would be exonerated, you know, on federal charges, but statewide charges, you know, he won't be able to pardon. Nor no governor because it's the federal charges. How can one pardon themselves? Isn't that a conflict of interest to begin with? You know, I remember Real Winner. She worked at the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland, what's that, Homeland Security or Department of Defense.
Right.
And she handed over one single page to Julian Assange, and she waited 2 years for a trial and got 7 years in prison for that one single page.
Yep.
So imagine Trump has over 200 documents, some of them top secret, and the top secret ones, two of them missing. Why is he allowed to go around the country with his Nazi rallies and spew this hate and say, you know, he's their retribution? He's no retribution. You know, it's just revenge on his part. And God forbid he gets a second term. This country is going to be screwed. Democracy will be over. And, you know, those people who saying, oh, Democrats not doing anything. Democrats have done things in 3 years. Joe Biden has done things in 3 years, not seen since FDR in the Great Depression.
Yep.
You know, so people should wake up, and Democrats need to do a better job in spreading what they've done and what they plan to do if and when they become a majority in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. And not only that, across the 50 states, we need to get Democrats in power in the state legislatures and the state houses and the state senates, because, you know, it's not only on a federal level, but at statewide level and on a local level. This is how we make change. You know, when one person said, oh, you know, elections don't really matter because my vote don't count, then, you know, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. You know, and when things get bad, like when Trump was in power, you know, the bitch and complain, oh, Democrats' fault. How is it Democrats' fault? You're not even voted. So what are you talking about? You know? I just don't understand people's thought process or logic. You know, it's frustrating. You know, they're destroying this country, and we're going to hell in a handbasket because of Republicans and these greedy corporations who don't pay taxes, you know? And they're talking about, oh, Democrats, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. They don't have the majority in the House to pass certain bills. You know, the Voting Rights Act should be renewed. They don't all do it. Because Republicans think, oh, immigrants coming, and Democrats want them to become citizens so they can vote Democratic. You know, people don't have critical thinking. You know, why are they so afraid of immigrants? Why are they so afraid of women? Why are they so afraid of LGBTQ? Why? What is their problem? You know, it's just hate. And I think that minorities, like who are just called women, LGBTQ, African-Americans, etc., they're going to be the majority in this country in 2054. And what will they do then? You know? It's like they're trying to hold on to the last pangs of power to say, hey, I'm a white person, I'm in charge, and you're below me, so do as you're told. And that way happened because we're living in 21st century America, not 1920s America, and it's just not going to fly. You know, it's not going to fly. You know?
Yeah.
Treat people how you want to be treated. I'm not throwing this thing about, oh, I'm a Christian. You're not Christian. You know, people dying because of this barbed wire fence in Texas, and you're laughing and joking about it. You know, women get raped, and you say, oh, you know, the father raped them, or a relative or a stranger raped them, should have that baby. No, it wasn't conceived out of love. You know, Jesus Christ, these people are out of their minds, they're insane, and have no right about running for any political office. You know, and Donald Trump, if he comes back to power, he would commute sentences for the people who are found guilty for attacking the Capitol on January 6, 2021. You know, and, you know, that was just a test run for them, because I feel in January 6, 2025, they're going to try the same goddamn thing. You know, but this time, Joe Biden will be ready for them. Call out National Guard, call out whoever you have to call out, because these people must be stopped in their tracks. They're out of order. You know, they think they're bigger than the Constitution. You know, they get a big hard on about the Second Amendment and their Second Amendment rights. What about the rights about the first grader, second grader, who, you know, some mad person, lunatic with an AR-15 going in there and shooting on the place indiscriminately? You know, what about those people's rights? You know,
it's ridiculous. Their solution, David, is, you know, put more locks on the doors, locks on the doors, locks on the back doors, so they can't get out, you know? So they're stuck in there like sitting ducks. That's their solution. Oh, get security. Oh, no, have the teachers have guns. Let the teachers get training for guns. Let them protect the students. But don't take away my guns. Don't you dare take away my guns.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a good guy with a gun, like 400 good guys with a gun were in Uvalde, and it didn't work there. Nope.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
It doesn't work. Does not work. Because when you are in a situation, you don't know what could happen. You don't know how you're going to act. You don't know if you're going to freeze. You know, you don't know. There's no prediction. There is no prediction.
Mm-hmm.
You can. You know, it's just like testing. It's just like if you're going to be on a movie set and you're going to do a part, and you know, you go over and over and over and over this part. But when it comes to you really doing that part, you know, can you really do that part? And that's, you know, or are you going to freak out? You know, you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same thing.
It's caught
the same
off guard.
Mm-hmm.
You're caught off
guard.
Guard.
Yes.
You know, there was a policeman in the movie theater, and that movie theater, where was it in, I don't know what state, that movie theater where the guy shot up the theater. There's a
Colorado.
There. He
Colorado.
Couldn't stop it. Colorado, yeah, he couldn't stop it. It isn't that simple. You know, everybody carries guns, and a lot of people get hurt by the guns they carry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or somebody gets
and
hurt.
And how do you know?
Elementary school out west.
Mm-hmm.
The cops stood there for what? 40 minutes while they heard the children being mowed down?
Yes.
And they had AR-15s, and they still didn't go in and get them?
Yeah.
Almost
400
of them.
I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
That was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Texas.
Yeah.
Swarming with cops. Swarming
and
with
the
cops.
And there's been so many shootings, I can't put the states together.
I know. That one was Texas. And Abbott did not even go to their funerals. He didn't even visit. What was the city?
Uvalde.
Uvalde. Yeah. He didn't even go to Uvalde. He didn't even go there to see what had happened. He doesn't care.
And those grown men stood there with their AR-15s and didn't know what to flick to do while they were hearing that guy in the locked doors killing those kids.
Yep.
And they want to arm the teachers.
Yep, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those officers did not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing about Lee Brer, how much money he stole from the NRA, put his ass in prison, not jail, prison.
Yes.
David, go ahead.
Susie calling in from Michigan. Hello, Susie. What's cooking tonight?
How you doing, guys? I got another nightmare for you.
Yeah.
I was listening to Dateline White House tonight, this afternoon, and they were talking about if Trump gets back in office, the intelligence department is having heart attacks because none of our secrets will be safe. He opens his mouth when he's not, you know, they were having heart attacks when he was in office, telling, you know, Putin and different, you know, Kim, all these secrets and things that they should not know. And they won't have any control of him or his people because he wants to get rid of everybody, like the DOJ, the FBI, and all that stuff. He said, our country is going to go to hell. There will not be democracy. They said, be afraid. And these were ex-top intelligence officers, FBI officers, DOJ officers. Be afraid. We got to stop this.
They're all numbers, but they have to be out there fighting it. They have to be out there organizing.
Madeline, I just want to ask Madeline a question. What do you think about...
Before you ask, we'll have one more caller from Chicago, from Illinois, Carol. Welcome to the show, Carol. And, go ahead with a question, Lori.
I was just going to ask Madeline, what did you think about the ruling in Colorado?
What?
I guess Madeline got cut off. I don't know why. I guess she had to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so Carol from Illinois. Hello. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hi, I just caught up with you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to point out in regards to Trump and the right wing, the extremists and the right wing, I saw them attempt a coup attempt back in 2014, May 17th. And they called it the American Spring. It was led by the Tea Party. And they were supposed to march on the Capitol and peacefully occupy the Capitol until Obama and Congress surrendered. And they then they were going to appoint Ted Cruz as a temporary president. And there was a bunch of people calling themselves Ted's Army and militias, associated militias that were going to be showing up, encircling the Capitol. And they were going to have military tribunals. These people are very big on military tribunals. And they were going to try Trey Gowdy from the South was going to prosecute Obama and Pelosi and so on and so forth. Well, of course, it was extremely cold and rainy, and some of the surrounding groups, KKK and militias, were not planning to come peacefully and unarmed. They were planning for a bloodbath. And when that leaked out to the Tea Party people, a lot of them chickened out because they didn't really want a violent confrontation. So only about 1,000 people showed up. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that they were telling that Obama was a usurper of power. Now, that word usurper is very interesting because Obama won by a landslide, the biggest landslide we've ever seen. So way back in Obama's era, they were already plotting coups if they didn't get their way in an election, and they were already election denying. So what the same group that floated into the Tea Party and that were behind all this coup talk then floated into MAGA. And what I'm saying is this is deeper. This is about a cold civil war. They kept having conventions of the states talking about seceding from the Union. Nobody debated them and argued how stupid or silly that was. And this all goes back to the Confederate state, which if you look at the heart of the disrespect is coming from red states in the heart of the South, okay? Texas and Florida especially. They were the last two states to receive slaves just before the war ended. They herded all the slaves south. And Texas actually delayed announcing the Emancipation Proclamation for about a year and a half.
Right.
They didn't want to count. And until the 1960s, there were some people still held slaves. Still held slaves in the backwaters of Louisiana on a farm. And how could that be? Well, it's very simple. The slaves got their goods from the farmer or the plantation owner, kind of like a company store, and he never let them off the ground. And when suppliers came in, they were told not to talk to them. And so these people were held in slavery until the 1960s. Around that point, the plantation family fell in hard times, lost the plantation, and they were free. So the thing is, to combat this, we need to forcefully mandate an overhaul of our education system. And and we have to get an accurate history. This whole myth of the South will rise again, the wonderful, glorious days of the South. What was wonderful and glorious if you were an aristocrat and had a ton of slaves. But it wasn't so wonderful for the poor cracker farmer and the slaves. So, you know, we have to get accurate about what really happened in that era. What was the downside of slavery? And demystify it and take back those textbooks and tell the truth. Because as long as they keep this South Shall Rise Again myth going, you have a section of the United States that doesn't really want to be in the Union. And if they're going to be in the Union, then they want to be the aristocrats white man, rich white man rule. That's what they're trying to do. It's bring it right back to slave era time. And with the attacks on women, I can tell you already what they plan to do. Contraception of any sort next, voting rights, having credit in your own name. They've even have some of them that don't want women educated. They don't want women holding jobs without outside of the family. Yet these people do not want to give a living wage. So what does that leave the average man? He can't support the family. Everything is rising around him. You're talking about the creation of a slave class, economic slavery.
Exactly.
That is exactly where they're headed with this. They want a permanent underclass where nobody can catch a break or get ahead.
Yep.
And I think we have to recognize it is it's a neo-Confederate movement.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe it.
But do you know what? Go ahead, Elaine.
No, I'm just agreeing with her. I believe it 100%. I believe it.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that's during the Reconstruction era, when Andrew Johnson, the Warren Democrat, who was Abraham Lincoln's vice president, took over, the whole Reconstruction plan went to hell because, you know, Andrew Johnson was a racist piece of garbage. And at that time, Democrats were the racist party. The Republican Party was a party for minorities and what have you, and wanted black people to vote and what have you, you know, which is good. But turn of the 1960s, 1963, 1964, you know, the party switched platforms because LBJ came in on the Great Society program, which was beautiful. It was like a continuation of the New Deal policies of FDR. You know, so every time in American history, the watershed period in American history, it's been Democrats who, you know, step up to the plate, and when Republicans destroy things, then the Democrats come to the rescue, you know, and it's trickle-down economics thing, you know, where, you know, the supply-side economics people, you know, think that the power will come from the top, the money will come from the top and trickle down. It has never worked. You know, they tried it on the, what's his name, the president before, Herbert Hoover, you know, and the economy went to hell, stock market crashed, you know, and just keep repeating the same things over and over and over again, hoping for a different result. That's madness. And this thing what Carl talk about, the South will rise again. You lost the war, South, get over it. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen, okay? And even if you have guns and what have you, liberals and people with good sense have guns still. If you're trying a thing, like I keep saying, it moves fire for fire and blood for blood. Okay? Nobody trying to take away your guns, because I know some of you sleep with it and masturbate and have orgasms with your guns and everything. We don't care. You know, you have religion and that's your safety net. Good for you, but you know, you're practicing religion, you say, and you're a Christian, but yet still, in last night's show, the callers from Alaska and North Carolina, you know, we're talking about some evil shit and laughing about it. People's misfortunes and everything, and you're laughing about it. That's not Christian. Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus react like that? No. You know, you have no compassion. And a person from Alaska saying, oh, I don't give a shit. That's why the American, you know, system is like this now, because of people like him, the stupid thinking, the negative thinking, and then hiding behind the mask and the veil of Christianity. You know, it's just stupidity.
And he had no compassion.
It's nonsense.
Not only that, they're still on the Planned Parenthood thing that, you know, there's babies being harvested. Their organs are being harvested in there. How many years have they been saying that? There is no viable proof. No proof. That is not what Planned Parenthood is about. And these people still do not understand what Planned Parenthood is about. They still don't care. They still listen to the lies, and they believe it, and they dig their feet in. And they also last night said
that women are having 9-month abortions.
I know, that's ridiculous.
9-month abortions. They're saying that just 2 or 3 minutes before that baby comes, they kill the baby. That's what they do. So a woman is going to carry a baby term, full term, okay? And then at the last 2-3 minutes, as she's been in labor for maybe 9 hours or so, is going to say, oh, I decided I don't want the baby. I'm going to kill the baby. Really? What kind of a mind thinks like that? What kind of a mind believes that kind of garbage?
It is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they believe it. They do. They believe anything. I mean, I've debated. Liz Cronkin is on Facebook. She calls herself an investigative journalist. Okay, she was very big into Q, and she was publishing all kinds of disinformation. As a matter of fact, she still was entertained at the White House and presented a talk about rescuing children. And the irony of that is that Trump very likely trafficked kids in his Trump modeling agency, which focused on preteens. It was he sent them out skimpy wear. He did not have a chaperone, and most of their modeling gigs were private parties with dirty old rich men. Now nobody knows if any of those little girls got molested or not, because most of them were Russian and Eastern European, and he underfed them and overcharged them, and eventually sends it back to Europe, so there's nobody to speak about it. The one American that was there, so it was the previous model agency, and they charged them about $1,200 per girl for rent, and the total rent on that building was $1,200 per month. But he had 8 to 10 girls in there. And at the time, there were 3 other pedophile-run modeling agencies doing the same thing, Casablanca's, I can't forget the other guy's name, and then Epstein. And the last one was Eileen Ford. Now, Eileen Ford had preteen models. This was an era in which they had Twiggy, and they had the baby-faced little girls dressed as women. And Eileen Ford took advantage of this, and she did have some very young girl models, but she chaperoned them. And she didn't starve them, underfeed them. So, you know, the feds closed him down for exploiting those minors. Now, how do you take a man who exploited minors, and as a matter of fact, ran a modeling agency that had no chaperones, that was very shady and creepy, and you call him a rescuer of children? And you put out a story that he's hanging with all the pedophile traffickers of children because he's forcing himself to do that, to save children? I don't think so. I think he's one of them. That's what
I think.
They don't question anything. They don't question anything. Liz Cronkin put out the drinking blood story, adrenochrome. Okay, adrenochrome is just adrenaline that's been used. Okay, I think I've talked to you about that before. It's just adrenaline that's been used. It's been oxidized. It's in every tissue of every animal that's ever been in the slaughterhouse. So when you eat a hamburger, you're probably getting adrenochrome. Why would you have to kill the kid for it? It doesn't do anything to your body. It's free. It's everywhere. It's in all the meat tissues. So, I mean, it's a totally fabricated, illogical conspiracy. Now, Liz,
and you know, Carol, the reason why they do things like this is to deflect. Because they don't have any economic policies, no programs, no plans to get America moving forward. And so they have these distractions and, you know, talk about the nonsense. Like, for example, Pizzagate, you know, where, the basement, Hillary Clinton people, you know, eating children, killing babies, selling the body parts.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, and that particular pizza place didn't even have a basement. And it was so lopsided and stupid.
But anyway, Carlos, thank you so much for calling in and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll let you go. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, Carlos.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody should tell us, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Carol in Illinois and everything. We lost Elaine for some reason. I guess the call queue, you know, when a new person call in, the drop one call, and, you know, because we have mm-hmm. such limited call, you know, and mm-hmm. We're sorry about that. So hopefully Elaine calls back in. And, like I was saying to Carol and everybody, you know, Republicans, what have they done since 2014 in terms of putting up a budget, putting up policies that will help people in America, working families, strengthening the middle class, you know, helping union workers? Nothing. They're all for tax cuts for the wealthy and wealthy corporations and wealthy individuals. And that's about
it. They've been trying, you know, like you said, insurance for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, Obamacare, they try to stop that. They don't want, you know, they're talking about cutting Medicare, Social Security. They haven't done anything to help people, except, like you said, tax cuts to the rich. And they put the Supreme Court in that's on their side. So they overrule all the anti-monopolies, you know, like the grocery stores and the meat packers and so forth. And all our prices are going sky high. And then they turn around and blame Biden for all this. And, of course, during Trump, all the, you know, the economy went to crap. All the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. But, you know, it's all Biden's fault. The economy
exactly. We'll have another caller. We'll have another caller. I think this is Nash from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not sure. But let's put the caller in. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Yeah, what's up, David? What's up, Lori? How y'all doing?
Oh, good.
Nash.
Good, how are you?
Not much going on. Watching the Lakers.
So what, the Lakers winning? That's my team, man.
Oh, you know they're losing, man. You know how it goes.
Oh, God, I hate hearing that. No, come on, Lakers. Yes, man. So, thank you, by the way, for, you know, linking me up to that certain individual and their podcast and everything. And I hear how crazy that certain person is, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, deep dive and do a big, you know, bigger, I just jump on rabbit hole and see what this person is about, because it's just madness the way certain people think. You know, and they don't have an understanding of the operation of how government works. You know, they tend to regurgitate everything Fox News says. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
But you know what's interesting though? The interesting thing to me is, okay, Fox has been a stronghold for them for a long time. But when you have people in, you know, these echo chambers the way that they do, after a while, Fox is not enough. It's like, you know, the guy who's on some type of drug who at first a little bit got him through, and then next thing you know, he needs a lot more of the drug. So Fox is not hard enough, so then they move to OAN and some of these other channels that are kind of sprouting up, and, you know, you can get online and listen to radio shows. And they can hear, you know, even crazier stuff, levels Fox can't go to, because legally, as we saw with the Dominion suit, they will get sued. So that's the other part, just the extremism and the way that YouTube and Facebook have kind of incubated a lot of this, because, you know, the more extreme the thing is, the longer they keep you on it and the longer the suggested videos take you down a deeper rabbit hole. So that's going to be something that's up for study in, you know, 30 years from now. When people talk about the losing of the American mind and what happened, and they're really going to get into those echo chambers, because once Rush Limbaugh passed, it was a free-for-all.
Go ahead. It is crazy. You know, but the funny thing is that as you listen to them speaking, three, four different people, that are all, I call them right-wing nut jobs. What else can I call them? But
their talking points are all the same. It's like you can tell who they listen to or what they listen to or what they read.
Yeah.
And it's funny because all of them do the same thing. When they're on, when they're online and talking to us, they're online as well. And then they bring up these articles that you don't know where they got these articles from, but they think they're true. You know, it's crazy. Like last night they were trying to tell us that there are 9 month abortions. 9 month abortions. Really?
Right.
Come on. If you think about it logically, a 9 month abortion, you know, the doctor would be charged with murder. The mother would be charged with murder. Mm-hmm. And all the people that are surrounding her that watch this happen would be charged with murder or accessory to murder. Wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is,
if you're grifting from that group, though, you can't explain things plainly. So for late-term abortions, you say, well, these are nine-month abortions. And you say they're killing live babies. So that way the extremists will click on the article, they'll share the article with some of their friends, and then their friends will believe it. And before you know it, a situation where you're talking about 0.0000001% chance of happening, they turn that into the standard, and then they're arguing with you and calling you a baby killer. So, you know.
Yeah.
Listen. Wait, yeah, I know. Lynn, have something to say about that.
Have you seen the things that with Trump gets on there and he talks about how the mother gives birth and they clean it up and wrap it up with a nice towel and then they sit down with the doctor and discuss whether or not they're going to kill it? And he flat out says that. And that's a nine-month abortion to him.
I never heard that. I mean, oh, my God.
I've heard it multiple times. Yeah. They sit down and talk about it after the baby's all cleaned up and wrapped in a blanket and, you know, are we going to keep it or should we just murder it? And that's a nine-month abortion in his mind. And he thinks that,
right.
And he
and
claims that it happens
so slow,
all the time.
They don't correct it in real time.
Yeah.
Well, if you had a baby if you have a baby and you don't want it, then you could give it, let it be adopted. Why would you kill it? Yeah,
but he
says sense.
This happens all the time.
Well,
yes,
yeah,
no
lied.
Problem, and the doctors just go along, and people believe it. Well, Trump wouldn't lie, you know. And I've heard it multiple times.
Wow,
I've never
heard that.
What the Dems
and others aren't good at they say they're not good at messaging. Well, they ought to get over that and learn how to do it and learn how to keep saying what's true and pushing the truth. They don't do that, and that is the problem.
It's never happened.
No. Absolutely
it's
not.
It's like saying, should we slice it up and make a sandwich? Come on. That just makes no sense at all. It's ridiculous. And yet people, those Republicans, they kill babies and drink, or the Democrats, they kill babies and drink their blood. Why wouldn't they do that?
I can't, I won't just second guess it. I'll take that back. There is a group of people that after the baby is born, they want the placenta. They take the placenta home, and the placenta cooked, I guess, and it's shared by the family. It's some kind of a tradition.
I think it's gross, but...
That day, who am I to judge? Some hospitals have gotten into trouble because of the fact now they ask ahead of time, do you want us to package the placenta on ice for you?
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm sure they have taken truth and they've made it into a wild exaggeration. Now, I'm not going to judge these people. That's their religion. That's their tradition. Fine. Just, I don't want to come over your house when you're eating placenta.
I know the Kardashians did that. I saw a program.
Oh, that just sounded really
Kardashians.
Off, Elaine.
Yeah, and they eat the placenta, which, hey, it regenerates the mother's iron and cells and what have you. Hey, if you want
to
do that,
you know,
not yourself,
probably
though, but God.
Some truth to it, because animals
mm-hmm.
eat the placenta after they're done
mm-hmm.
burying their puppies, their kittens, their goats, their whatever,
mm-hmm.
the horses, they all eat the placenta. So there might
mm-hmm.
be some truth in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, it's after wild animals, it's so that the predators don't smell
mm-hmm.
that they've had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand this for nourishment. I don't know. I'm
mm-hmm.
not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. But I know animals eat it. Why they do, it could be twofold. So nobody can smell the that they had a baby, and it's nourishment
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
they can carry on motherhood. I don't
yeah,
know.
But those are three powerful words you said, and I think the left and everybody else needs to take up on those words. You said, I don't know. That's something that is not said enough in today's society, where we'll get outside of our understanding of a topic and people will just go. And they'll just, you know, freestyle off the top of the head, just whatever they want. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that. Just wait until the topic goes to something you know and then weigh in on that. But in this American society, man, like you'll see on social media somebody who's a trained scientist arguing with somebody who says, nope, COVID is a hoax. And the COVID
mm-hmm.
is a hoax person thinks they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until they've got their breathing tube down their throat.
What does that say about
mm-hmm.
our educational system and critical thinking?
Yeah.
Well, the Very Republicans true. Want to get rid of the education department and the
right.
labor department and
mm-hmm.
Homeland Security department and a couple
mm-hmm.
more. Can I figure, you know, think of off the top of my head. You know, so... these Republicans, they're fascists, plain
mm-hmm.
and simple. And speaking of fascists, Donald Trump won the North Dakota Republican caucuses, and it adds to
mm-hmm.
his victory going into Super Tuesday tomorrow. And Super
yep.
Tuesday, do you think Nikki Haley will make a dent, or she should just call it a day and drop out from now? You know, start with Naj. What do you think?
I think her donors are telling her to hold on. Let's wait to see what happens to this guy legally. And
mm-hmm.
until then, I don't think they're going to pull the plug, because just for them lasting this long lets you know that there is some doubt over there about what could happen to this guy if monetarily he can't handle the weight that's coming after him, and then legally, just so many cases, which he's
mm-hmm.
on the losing side of. So I just think they're
mm-hmm.
just looking at it like, hey, let's just watch and wait.
Right, right. How about, Chris Christie, you notice, Lori, haven't endorsed
mm-hmm.
Nikki Haley nor Donald Trump. And they
mm-hmm.
all signed a pledge to say, hey, whoever the Republican nominee is,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to support them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Nikki
Do
Haley
you think
signed
that-
the pledge.
Yeah,
she
did, and she was asked to meet the press if Donald Trump is a nominee, would she endorse him? And she didn't answer the question. She didn't answer the question.
No, she didn't.
Right.
And
you know, so do you think Chris Christie and Nikki Haley will endorse him eventually or no?
Yeah. Well, the thing I don't like about her is just that.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't she have just said, if I am not the nominee, if I have to drop out, I will
mm-hmm.
not support Donald Trump. That's what she should have said, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it's obvious that, you know, I think she made a mistake in the beginning with her campaign, because she was afraid. She wanted to be his ally, but yet she
mm-hmm.
didn't want to. She wanted to be different in her campaign,
mm-hmm.
but she wanted to be an ally as well. So it doesn't work
mm-hmm.
like that. You know, Chris Christie, at least Chris Christie, did say what he felt. No, he didn't make it either. He did say what he felt, but he must feel better about himself than her, because flip flop the time. You know, with that IVF and in vitro fertilization, you know, I saw her interviewed, and at first she said that she was with the Alabama court, you know, with what they said. She, oh, yeah, I agree with them. And then the next day, she had the whole story all around again.
Right.
And then she said, I had a child through IVF. Now, which is the real answer? You know?
Well, she said, I think it's a baby.
Story.
She said, I think it's a baby. So she's kind of up, you know, could either way. She should just be definitive, and she's not. By the way, she won D.C. 60%. So she won something.
Yeah.
You know, she has that to say.
Do I think that she should, do I think she should endorse Trump? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's my opinion.
No, no.
But will
she? No, no. I was asking, do you think she will endorse Trump? Not, you know, do you think she should endorse Trump? You know, you misinterpreted. Yeah. Fuck Trump. Yeah.
I don't think she will. I don't think she will at the end. That's my opinion, but who knows?
A lot of character to her that I don't think she has. I think if things go the other way, she immediately signs up and goes out on the, you know, humiliation tour on stage with him and, you know, continues to rake in the money. I mean, hell, she sold out her own people. She sold out black people in South Carolina. So, yeah, I mean, this is who she is.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. She's a flip-flopper. And she's out for her own skin. She's out for herself. In my eyes, very visible. Very visible. She's flip-flopped on so many things, it's ridiculous. You know, so.
And she didn't take that Confederate flag down. Some black woman climbed up the pole and took it down, and then she sort of gave in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bree Newsom. Yep. I remember that. Yep.
You know, and her own state didn't vote for her, so. Gotta think about that too, where she was governor.
She lost in a landslide in that primary. Yes, ma'am. So, Elaine, are you back with us? Are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay.
Nikki Haley's going to do? I don't think she even knows what she's going to do. So I guess we just have to wait and see. That's my take on it.
So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Carla was making a point earlier in the show when she was on about this whole South rising again. Do you think that's possible? This question going out for everybody, you know, because the Western states like Utah and the Bible Belt states like Nebraska and wherever else, you know, they're in cahoots or in tandem with the South and everything. And even people in Michigan, people here in New Mexico, you know, sympathize with the South and everything. Do you think it's going to reach a point, as Carl was saying from Illinois, that eventually we'll have a civil war or hopefully good sense will prevail and that it will reach that stage? This is a question for everybody.
I think no, but who knows? I guess
I'll go first. We've got to educate these kids, and even I had a lot, pretty darn good education, public education, but there was a lot that we didn't know, and there is a lot that I have learned, to be perfectly honest, in the last 20 years, and I have discussed this before. I was absolutely shocked when I found out that, you know, I heard, you know, I studied history, we freed the slaves, and when people told me about separate bathrooms and separate drinking fountains, and then there's sit-ins, it absolutely blew me away. I thought, oh, this can't be true. It's got to be some sort of a joke. But it was true. And we've got to do a little bit better on our history. A little bit better. We've got to do a lot better on our history and on civics. There's too many people do not know how their cities run, how their states run, and how the governments run.
Well, they can't do much then, can they?
Pardon?
They can't do much if they don't know how it works.
That's right. And you know, I've had people that have always voted and have been good citizens, and they'll say, well, look what Clinton did. There was a lot of things he did that I didn't like. And I said to them, he ran into problems also, House and Senate. I said, when these bills are passed and he's got to compromise in order to sign them, you know, to get good things out there for people that he wants good things to do, a lot of times you've got to take a lot of the crap in there. And that's only because you didn't give him the tools to put in his toolbox. You didn't give him the Democrats. My dad used to always say that. He'd look at after a presidential election, and even back, good golly, in the 50s, he would always say, oh, God, the House and the Senate's different. Nothing will get done. Well, you know what? Evidently, it's been that bad that long.
Sure has. What do we think about different states like Florida teaching something entirely different, getting rid of slavery, getting rid of Black history? I mean, how does that work in a country when you have totally different things being taught as opposed to a kind of a federal basic understanding? You know, sometimes they say states' rights, but it sure didn't go very well in Colorado or with these other states about putting Trump on the, you know, putting it on the ballot. They went federal, and it has all favored Trump. But it seems like they can go, if you're kind of a crooked court, you can kind of lean the way that you want to because you're not being impartial.
I don't know. I just want to get through this election and then start thinking about how to clean the mess.
How are we going to get through this election? What do we have to do? We have to do something.
Vote, and keep telling people to vote. I went to get my phone fixed today, and I made sure that I engaged the young lady I was talking to. I engaged in a conversation. She said, is there anything else I can do for you, Mrs. And I said, yes, vote. She said, oh, yeah. She says, I vote. She said, my mother would smack the side of my head if I didn't. I engage any time I can get a chance. Sometimes people look at me like, good Lord, where's this woman coming from? And they'll answer me, yeah, I vote, or no, I don't vote, you know. But I engage people when I can and where I can.
Try to engage them to see what they know, because some of them, they don't know enough about what's going on. So when they vote, I try to engage them, and I found one, I worked in Southfield, and there was this young Black, though there's more Black patients that we have, it's in Southfield, and this young lady, she had no idea who Nelson Mandela was. I mean, she had no idea who he was. And I thought, I was just trying to tell her you should read up on him. But you have to know, when you say vote, we want them to be more informed. And I
well,
think
the girl I engaged
to
today, I think she was informed because she said if she didn't vote, her mother would hit her the side of her head. So I just left it at that. But I know what you're talking about. I have engaged different people in the grocery store line, like, well, who should I vote for? And I said, well, who do you think? You know, I try to see how entrenched they might be a mag, you know. I don't want to get a wacko magum like I did one day. I was ready to throw all my groceries at him. He started calling me names. I'm pretty careful now how I engage him. Like, what do you think? I get let them go first, then I play it by ear.
So Naj in Atlanta. I know it's a bastion for African Americans and what have you, but around the state of Georgia, you know, what's the mood like in terms of, you know, Trump getting a nomination again, more than likely, and Joe Biden? Because, you know, Joe Biden has to win Georgia, because it was Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Those states were crucial for him winning. Do you think he's going to win Georgia again? What's the mood like in Georgia, the political mood?
Yeah, So that one, I'm a little unsure. So Atlanta and the surrounding small cities down here in Georgia that are directly linked to Atlanta, yeah, Joe Biden's going to win those easily, like walking away. That's no problem. The question is, does the organizing and grassroots work Stacey Abrams did last time, does that hold in some of the rural areas of Georgia? Because if Biden can put up a fight in some of those rural areas, then, yeah, he can take Georgia easily if that's the case. But you got to remember, there are some hollers out here in Georgia that are just MAGA, period, and there's no inroads there at all. But they were able to pull it off last time because she really engaged with the people, got to talk to them. They knew Stacey because, you know, she, in her work down here, she spent a lot of time with conservatives. She wasn't just a person who only talked to Democrats. So he has a chance with Georgia. And to your Civil War question, no, a Civil War will not happen. The American living standard is too high for people to take that kind of risk where they're just going to put their body on the line for their ideology. The few that do, you would see a situation similar to Waco, Texas, where the feds would come in. And those people who want to fight against the government, okay, guess what? They got more guns than you. They have drones. They have high-tech weapons that you do not have, and you and your friends and your AR-15, and let alone how many of your friends actually show up when it happens, because people actually have lives to turn to. So when they vent online and say they're going to do all these things, these terrible things, and, you know, they're going to be the new Confederates or whatever, yeah, that sounds much easier. It's much easier said than done, because they got kids too. They got mortgages. They got lives that they like. They love their dinner the same as, you know, all of them do. And you have to kind of have the living standards of Gaza right now to where you see people come out and, you know, take those kind of risks. So I don't think the Civil War thing will happen. I think it's the isolated event of, you know, right-wing terrorism, and the feds will put them down.
Well, remember Ruby Ridge, for example, where that guy didn't pay his property taxes and went in there and, you know, held out for many days and what have you, and eventually they killed him. You know, the right wing think that that was government tyranny, and it wasn't. You know, he made threats and he didn't pay his taxes, so they went in there to arrest him. And of course, that it happened where he got shot and killed and everything. They even shot and killed his dog, you know?
Yeah.
So the right wing need to, like, calm the fuck down, basically. This whole rhetoric about, oh, you know, you're not going to come take my guns. Again, for the millionth time on the show, nobody's trying to take your goddamn guns, you know? You know, they said every election year. You know, is that a masturbate with the guns? You know, they can't have an orgasm without the guns. To me, that's freaky. I mean, hey, if you're into that stuff, knock yourself out.
No party in America is ever going to tie themselves to that. Right, David. No party in America is ever going to tie themselves to the one who grabs your guns. That's a losing election cycle for the next 50 years if a party was even about to entertain that. And then the other part, like, just think about this. If there actually was a ability to secede for any of these states, you know what would happen to those states? They would be isolated economically. They wouldn't be able to trade. They wouldn't have the power and might of the U.S. currency behind them, and they would become a third world tragedy within a few months from the blockade, economic sanctions, and everything else. So this whole idea that we just got rid of the Fed and ran our state takes money from the Fed and needs money from the Fed to operate. Like, it's a nonsensical, like, right-wing dream. But in reality, no.
And more money
Yeah, like you just said, you know, most of the federal aid got to red states that, you know, are like, low in education, low in healthcare, infant mortality rate is real low, you know? So these people are trying to break away and say, yes, you know, we're going to fight tyranny. You know, they're just playing G.I. Joe since the Cold War ended. They have nothing to do. Yeah, they have all these guns. When I lived in Panama City Beach, I had a friend. I consider him a friend, yeah. And he was this right-wing nut, You know, imagine his wife left him. Why? Because he had over 600 guns in a house. You know, 60 alone in his car. You know, I mean, how, and every time he see me, the first thing he said to me, David, the war is coming. I'm like, what do you mean the war is coming? You know, I'm just trying to live my daily life. You know, what war? You get what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm neither Democrat nor Republican, but the war is coming. That's, he always said that. You know, he always said that and everything. I don't know. I try to, like, reason with some of these people. But there's no reasoning.
Of spam?
You know, I asked him, the war is coming, what war? Explain. You know, oh, the government trying to take all my guns. Oh, the government trying to tax me. The income tax, you know, the Federal Reserve should be destroyed. That you know, it's just this conspiracy shit, you know. And you don't want to jump down that rabbit hole, because if you jump down, some people, if they're not strong enough, won't be able to come back. You know, I'm sure we all know somebody who, you know, fall for the right-wing fear tactics about, oh, yeah, the government coming for you and it's going to be a race war, you know, because they're treating white people, reverse racism, blah, blah, blah. There's no such thing as reverse racism. Racism is racism. And at one point or another, people, whether you're black, white, Jewish, purple, orange, that get some form of racism, sexism, and bias. You know, and we have to form a more perfect union. How we can do that is talk. But there's no sense in talking to these people, because these people are irrational, you know. And I talk about women being emotional. Oh, my God. You know, you know, and you don't need, as a friend of mine, Carl Campbell Zimmerman in Arizona, rightly said, you don't need a gun to stop government tyranny. You just need to go out there and vote. And as Laura said on the top of the show, that every generation has to go out there and vote. We see what Republicans are all about. They're beholden to Trump, who's beholden to the Kremlin and the Russian Duma and Vladimir Putin and the Russian Mafia, because he owes so much money. We can't put a tyrant like Donald Trump, who has no cognitive skills or ability, as president of the United States, because we saw what he did in the first 4 years, which was nothing, basically. When COVID came, it went shit, you know? He's like, oh, you know, it's going to, you know, be over with in a couple months. Then he came back, oh, you know, just inject yourself with bleach. Oh, just take the horse tranquilizer and get rid of it. All sort of nonsense. He knows everything, but he doesn't know anything. You know, oh, I know more than generals. Oh, you know, I hire the best people. Donald Trump should be in prison, just like that idiot who's running for re-election in Florida, Rick Scott, U.S. Senator, who was governor. He ripped off Medicaid for $1 billion. Yep. And what did Florida do? Florida elected him governor the next year. What is happening in America where that happened? Yep. Imagine if a Democrat did that. Imagine if Hillary or Barack did that, or Joe Biden, or any goddamn Democrat. They'd be in prison. And the quote-unquote liberal media would be on their ass the whole time. You know? So we need to get serious in this country and stop the nonsense.
People don't think. During the pandemic, gas was super cheap. Why? We were all wearing masks, and we were sitting home. We were sitting on our front porches or our patios. We were staying away from the germ. We didn't know what to expect. Our friends were dying. We all knew somebody that died overnight from COVID. Yes, gas was cheap. The Saudis were going crazy. What do we do? They lowered the prices on the barrels. Yeah, the gas was cheap. My car sat in the driveway with a full tank for almost 2 years.
Yes.
No, that's another thing. We got to remind them. Oh, the gas was cheap the last 2 years that Trump was in office. Well, where did you go? Did you go to work or were you hunkered down? You have to keep reminding people. I really think that maybe we shouldn't have legalized marijuana. Maybe it's been too much marijuana smoking. I don't know what's wrong with people.
Wait a minute. Don't knock the joint out of my hand because they don't read.
I'm making a joke. I'm not making facts.
Me too. I was making a joke. Sorry, I didn't come off that way. But no, another point of entry when you're talking to MAGA supporters is this. when he did his tax reshuffling, he decided the 1% would get a permanent cut that you would pay for, MAGA voter, because they changed the tax tables to where you paid out less, and then at the end of the year, you went in there and found out you actually owed money. And this is normal. Working class people who normally get a refund, all of a sudden they owe money. And that's a huge part of his base that doesn't realize he did that to him because he signed it while he was in office, and the repercussions came during the Biden administration. So that's another point of entry I think that you could have with Trump supporters, because people understand that.
Yes.
They didn't have a permanent cut. Mm-hmm. The regular people didn't have any permanent long-term cuts. But
they didn't have a cut, period. They just told them that they weren't going to take out as much money each week.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay,
in other words, if they were supposed to take out 10%, they took out 5%. Mm-hmm. And then when it came tax time to file, and as Zaz says, when it came time to file, they said, well, you didn't pay your 10%. Now you owe the difference.
Yeah, that has to be the last word. Let's thank everybody, Nash in Atlanta, Georgia, for calling. Doris, Susie, Elaine in Michigan. Who else? Carol in Illinois. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it and everything.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening. And we'll be back again Thursday coming up. We look forward to that show, same time, same place on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for sharing. Remember to visit kitchenpolitics123.com. And like us on Facebook. We have a community page and we have a group page. So thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next time. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, everyone. Thank you all for coming. And it was a great show, for calling it. Have a good night, and we'll see everyone.
Worst pandemic in 100 years. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. But America fought back. Today, unemployment is at record lows. Our economy leading the world. Joe Biden passed historic laws to rebuild the country. But he knows it's the American people who are the heroes of this story.
America is back. We've shown each other in the world that there's no quit in America. There's simply no quit in America.
In small towns and big cities, we're coming back stronger than ever. Manufacturing jobs are coming home. High-speed computer chips are getting made right here. America is leading the world in clean energy. There are some who say America is failing. Not Joe Biden. He believes our best days are ahead because he believes in the American people.
Those who bet against America are learning how wrong they are. It's never, ever been a good bet to bet against America. Never.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency. I believe in free and fair elections and the right to vote fairly and have your vote counted.
There's something dangerous happened in America. There's an extremist movement who does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy.
all of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching.
I'm an OBGYN.
Most important, and our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration. And I ask every American to join me in this cause. America is still a place of possibilities where the power resides with we, the people. That's our soul. We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity when we act together. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I'm an OBGYN in Texas and a mother of three wonderful children. Having this beautiful, messy, chaotic, but wonderful family, it's the joy of my life. I never thought that I would need an abortion for a planned pregnancy, but I did. 2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. At a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and that there was absolutely no chance of survival. In Texas, you are forced to carry that pregnancy, and that is because of Donald Trump overturning Roe v. Wade. The choice was completely taken away. I was to continue my pregnancy, putting my life at risk. It's every woman's worst nightmare, and it was absolutely unbearable. We need leaders that will protect our rights and not take them away, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.